We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Meditation Studio. I'm Patricia Karpus. In this series, we introduce you to real people with extraordinary stories and experts who share how meditation and mindfulness practices change our lives. Our podcast is brought to you by Meditation Studio, Apple's pick as one of the 10 best apps of the year. Why download the app? Because life is messy. We get stressed, anxious, have trouble sleeping, we work too hard, we deal with conflict, our hearts get broken, we worry about the state of the world. We meditate because we're human. Our app gives you hundreds of meditations from over 30 leading experts. It helps a lot. And if you haven't tried the app yet, you can now try it for free and explore a starter series plus a sample of some of our favorite guided meditations in the Discover collection. You may also want to check out our new meditation collections this year. Mindful eating, work, authentic leadership, and a special collection just for college students. There's also a new mindful work and sleep basics course. If you've already got the app, check out our new unguided meditation timer where you can create your own meditations with or without our brand new, pretty amazing music tracks. And don't forget the 8 free meditations on Alexa. Just ask her to enable Meditation Studio. Today's guest is Natalie Kwa, yogi, yoga studio owner, podcast entrepreneur, and energy healer. Natalie grew up living in many different countries with her family. She's half Brazilian, half French, and brings an international perspective to much of what she does. An aunt introduced her to yoga and meditation when she was just 9 years old, and she's never looked back. She's been deeply committed to these practices for most of her life and shares how much they've had an impact on her. She was also a professional dancer, having trained in ballet, so she's committed to both movement and meditation. Natalie is someone who truly believes her life is destiny and that all of these practices bring her stability in a crazy, hectic world. Because her life was so nomadic as a child, these grounding practices made all the difference for her. And a little sidebar, I love her thoughts on how she stopped dating the wrong guys and found Mr. Right. She looks at what gives her energy and fuels her spirit and love. Now, here's Natalie. Natalie, it's such a pleasure to have you on Untangle this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I am very, very happy and super looking forward to chatting with you. I love your show.
Aw, thank you. I'm so excited. So I want to get a little bit of background on you for our audience, because you were a dancer and you were originally exposed to yoga at the age of 9, which is super unusual. Yeah. So tell me, what was that like?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story, because the way that I kind of came into what I do, it just feels like I've always been doing what I do, and that there was no other thing. Not that because I didn't have another choice, but because this always was more like, well, this is obvious what I want to do and it's what I'm doing. So what happened is that when I was a kid, my parents and I, my family, we traveled a lot for my dad's job, and we were living in Mexico. And my aunt, who is like one of my best friends, mom, who's super good friends with the family, even like to this day, so I called her my aunt. We used to go play at each other's house, and we had been friends since we were 7. I stayed living there until I was about 12. So I would go to her house, and she was a devotee of Guru Mai. And Guru Mai, if someone doesn't know her, I know a lot of people does, she is or was, I'm not sure, I don't keep up right now, but the leader of Siddha Yoga. And Siddha Yoga is a form of meditation and chanting. And basically, if you've seen the movie Eat, Pray, Love, when she goes to India to that ashram, and that woman is actually the character that Julia Roberts played, that was based on Guru Mai. So that's the lady. So my aunt loved her and had an altar at her house and went to the ashram, was a very serious like devotee. And every time I would go there, my best friend and I were playing Barbies. We loved Barbies. They were just like playing dolls everywhere. And I would like sneak out of the toy room or whatever to go be like sitting by the altar, which was like such a crazy thing because my parents don't come from that background. You know, I mean, we went to church. I come from a Catholic background and things like that, but nothing like that India. And so she one day decided I would ask questions. What is this? And she'd say, Ganesha. And what is that? And, you know, what is that? Uh-huh. And then one day she's like, you know, do you want to come with me to the temple? I mean, to the ashram, you know, where they had. And I said, yeah. And she asked my mom and my mom was like, okay, well, and mind you, she had my best friend and three boys, so four kids, and nobody wanted to go with her. And she always wanted her kids to go, but they didn't want to go. But I was like asking basically to go. And I go, and I remember the first time I went, it was a very vivid memory because I sat there and we meditated and we chanted and I felt like I was home. And I kept going with her and I would ask my mom to go. And then she told me even one day, you know, you're going to have to help a little, do some karma yoga. And I was doing some things. It was really kind of a funny story because that's really what got me started. And then my dream, like when I was 11, 12, was to go to India and explore all this.
You wow. know,
like, if I ever make it in life, I'm going to India.
It does feel like as you tell the story that it was destiny. Because to know at the age of 9 and not have it just be a curiosity where you go and then you're like, thank you, I'm done.
Yeah.
To really, it became something that you wanted to keep doing.
Yeah.
Did you find that you were like an anxious child or did you have any sadness or depression?
That's a very good question because I have been, now that I'm, you know, more of an adult, I'm trying to feel like where does this perhaps has come from? And there's one thing that came to my mind the other day. Because we moved so much, I counted one time that how many schools have I been to. It was like something like 12 when I was really young. We lived in Venezuela, Mexico, France. I mean, I've really like traveled because it wasn't my choice. It was my parents. And I feel like I had so much instability in that sense, not with my family because we're a family unit. And so it was, we were always together. And he had a job at international. He worked for this company for 30 something years. So we would just be transferred. However, I feel like there's a lot of instability. And mm-hmm. when I look back, leaving my friends so young, still to this day, I'm a person that I need stability in my life. Otherwise, I feel a little anxious. Now I found this thing that grounds me through meditation and through yoga. I feel like I found this stability in this thing called the umbrella of yoga meditation that really ground me, and it was something that I needed in my life. Really thankful because had I not had that, I wonder what else would have that been.
Well, it seems like it couldn't have been anything else the way it actually happened. And it's funny because I just interviewed someone, Jonathan Faust, who's a Buddhist teacher, and he was saying that he had this crazy mystical experience when he was 6 or 7 years old. And he came in to tell his mother, and his mother said, time for dinner. Like, but it is funny because as a child, you probably do, if you allow yourself, you probably do have some knowing, but maybe it gets pushed down. And yours got freed by this woman who was your aunt. It's a beautiful story. And
yeah.
I love that it gave you the stability that you needed as a child and then as you grew up. And what kind of meditation were you actually doing? Sitting there as a 9-year-old, most 9-year-olds are so fidgety.
I think it was like a mix of like silence and a lot of chanting and homing and then just sitting there. Yeah, I was going to regular school and there were days that I would wake up at 5 to go do the morning seva, which is like the rituals that they do in the morning and read the Bhagavad Gita. And there was like there are lectures on the Bhagavad Gita, and I would sit and then have breakfast with them, which was a vegetarian breakfast, which at the time I became a vegetarian. And mind you, my mom didn't know how to cook vegetarian back then. So a lot of times that meant like I was eating the French fries and that's it. So then I would have the breakfast with them and then go to school. My bus would pick me up there and I'd go to school and be in school for 7:30.
You just don't think of teenagers being
I know.
That focused. And so it does feel like that was something very special for you. And what did your parents think about you not wanting to go to their like Catholic church anymore?
I would go like once in a while. I still to this day honor it, you know, and if I feel like I want to go to mass, I go. It wasn't anything that I was like rebellious against.
I love that you're saying that because I think as we grow older and we're exposed to all kinds of different experiences and teachings, you can like cherry pick. You take what's meaningful for you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go 100% in one direction. But some people prefer that because it's less confusing if you just go with one philosophy or spiritual path.
And I feel like I did that. Like there was a good 4 or 5 years that I was very much in it and it taught me a lot. But then after that, I just felt like I didn't really need it in that form anymore. But to this day, like if I feel inspired to go visit them on a Sunday and eat like prasadam is like the food that they offer sometimes on Sunday and attend a ceremony, I will do no problem.
Like, yeah.
I've had some of them come to my studio. I'm not really dogmatic about anything.
Yeah.
Right now.
It can be an intense practice, just like being a gymnast. So you're a teenager, you're doing all these intense things.
So the dance was huge. And the dance, I believe, what kept me very grounded. I think I had to have some things that were my pillars. Mm-hmm. As I was very shakingly moving around, leaving my best friends, you know, and had this sort of nomadic life with my family. And the dance was like, I expressed myself through my body, through dancing. It was very important. So I really took that very seriously. And I believe that's why I had the physical part taking off. So asana wasn't really like something that I had to be doing when I was doing classic or modern ballet 5-6 days a week. That was my life until, I don't know, 18 at least, or probably 19. I'd go to school and then go to rehearse and dance and then started dancing for some troops, like some local troops in Rio and then in Paris. And then I moved to Paris to go to dance school, started performing in theaters and then got hired by Disney. And dance for Disney and moved to Disney to live with them in Euro Disney's dance company. I know I worked there for like 3-4 years.
Wow.
Which that again was a huge, huge thing and very much, I think, shaped my life because I started dancing for them. I was 17 or 18, like on the cusp, and then stayed until I was about 21. And that was pretty intense because Disney is a very demanding company, very good company. You learn a lot when you work for someone like Disney. It's also intense. It's hard work.
It sounds like you were incredibly disciplined from a very young age and able, you had this gift of really being able to focus deeply to be an amazing dancer and then to have a spiritual practice. And I'm curious, like, what was it like? You lived in so many different places and had so many international influences. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you?
To me, the world feels very diverse. It feels like, even though I am half French, half Brazilian, my father's French, my mother's Brazilian, I don't feel like I am. I just feel like I'm a global citizen. It's always been a weird thing to me to say like I am blah, blah, blah from a country. It's interesting to me to see other points of view because I can't even relate to it.
That is so cool because when we talk to people who feel they're 100% right because they've come from a single perspective, it feels funny because if you've lived or you've traveled, you see how many different perspectives there are and that diversity of opinion and thought is so rich. So what a gift that you were able to grow up with that sort of international perspective.
Well, then I go into college. I was dancing in France. My parents always wanted me to go to college. And somehow they were living in the United States. And so I came to visit them. I always would for holidays and stuff. And that's how I moved. That's how I got my first visa to move. And so I got a scholarship and then danced for SLU, which is a college here, four and a half years, danced for their company. During that period, somebody invited me to go to a yoga class. And that was the first time I went to like a real yoga class. And it happened to be a woman who certified by a yoga teacher named Patabi Joyce, who's
Ashtanga.
Who's the guru of Ashtanga yoga. And so I started training with her. And my background, when I was a freshman in college, and my background was so strong in dance that very soon my dream, since I was, again, 11 or 12, was to go to India. This woman had already been to India like 10 times. I was, quote unquote, her assistant at the time. So I asked her, she's certified by Patabi Joyce. So I asked her, I said, I would love to go to India. She said, you should come with me. Went to India my first trip and trained with him for a good 2 months there. And then I went back 3 more times. So I've had 4 trips to India with months each time.
Yeah. So this becomes the beginning of your life as a yogi. And
that was it. Yeah.
So that was it. And you have your...
That was it. Because I had an aha moment. I was like, wow, all of the stuff that I love, which is the yoga stuff, can be combined with the physical stuff, which to me was the dance, the ballet. However, this is a healing art, which is what I really wanted to be into, as opposed to a performing art. So that's one of the biggest difference to me between dance, and, you know, when you talk about yoga, and that I think, and I teach this to my students in my teacher trainings, yoga is not a performing art. Yoga is a healing art. That's a big difference between ballet. So sometimes when the students are being very like flashy on the mat or trying to do all these postures or leg behind the head, we have to remind ourselves, what are we really doing? This is a healing art. It's exactly. To heal, body, mind, spirit.
There is also where you seem to embrace that overall notion of being a healer, because then you started going into some other practices, like you've done Reiki and other types of energy healing, and you studied with Marianne Williamson in A Course in Miracles. How do you integrate all of that into the work that you do in the world?
Again, it's very organic. As I started teaching the Mysore style classes and became an Ashtanga teacher for a while, so I did learn and still am kind of an anatomy geek. You know? But so I do definitely combine. And I think in my trainings, we have a lot of the mysticism, but we also have a lot of the what's happening to your lower back, what's happening to the back ribs, and relax the shoulders and draw this back and press the outer edge of the foot down. I eventually from Ashtanga, so I'm working at Yoga Works, Annie's working at Yoga Works, Shiva Raya, Shankorn, pretty much.
Like, all the greats.
So many people that now is doing so many amazing things, which is so awesome. Because again, back then I'm like 25, 27 years old, had no idea. To me, it was just like another yoga studio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had no idea what this was going to turn into, that now I've had Sean come to my studio in New Orleans to teach. I work with Annie. I've worked for her. We collaborate. It's just so, then I met, you know, Marianne Williamson through Shankorn. And so study A Course in Miracles. I mean, Marianne came into my life. There was a time in my life that I'd been in and out of like long-term relationships, and I was in my 30s, and some of those relationships didn't turn out very well. And then I was single and at some point I was like, you know what? I can't just go from relationship to relationship. I need to really take a step back, take a deep breath, and just see like what's going on with me. What is it about me that is not, either I'm picking the right people, but then it's like, why are you always picking the wrong people? The wrong people. I mean, whatever it was, because there was a theme. It's like you're always dating the same guy, but you're not. But you kind of
But you are.
So I needed a strong presence in my life. And that was Marianne came to me. The way she speaks and the way she tells her message is very strong and powerful for young women, I believe. For one is to really, and I say this because if for everyone that's listening, this is important, especially if you're a single woman. One thing that she says is our energy is precious. When you sleep with somebody, when you have sex with them, you're giving that away. Like it's for women, it takes a lot longer to untangle that. than for a man because we're built different. And also there's the female and masculine energy, which has nothing to do whether you're male or female. But anyways, I'm not going to get into it. But this is important because with all these apps, it really teaches you how to value. So she has a thing, you value yourself. She has, you can stream online for free every week. It's changed my life.
We're going to take a little break here because we need to support our podcast and give it a little love from time to time. So this 30-second break gives a shout out to our sponsor, Yoga International. Yoga International offers a way to deepen your yoga practice by offering over 1,500 classes and workshops that you can take from the comfort of your home. Pretty cool. Whether you want to chill with restorative yoga, power up with some vinyasa classes, or check out Kundalini, they have got it all, and it's super affordable and much more convenient than running out to a studio. And better yet, there's a special offer for Untangle listeners, a 30-day free trial plus an Essentials of Meditation course, normally a $99 value. You definitely want to check this out at yogainternational.com/untangle. That is yogainternational.com/untangle. Now, back to Natalie.
So this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've ever thought about therapy and haven't quite jumped in yet, it may be the right time to explore BetterHelp. Whether you're looking for new coping skills or to improve a relationship, or maybe dealing with some social anxiety or just need to recharge your batteries so you can be the best version of yourself, therapy is great. And this could be just the right time to give BetterHelp a shot. Finding a therapist through BetterHelp is easy. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and they do their best to match you with a licensed therapist that's a great fit for you. Visit betterhelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/untangle. Now back to our show.
So it changed your life. How did it shift your perspective on relationships? And did you stop like picking the wrong people? How did it really influence?
Well, I think one thing really was to ask myself, what is it that I want? Because I don't think that there's necessarily like a right or a wrong way to go about things in terms of like judgmentally, but you're only asking the questions to your own self, what you want with your life, right? If I want to just be a person that I'm a successful woman and maybe like I'm focusing on my career, that's what I mean, and I'm just like dating a bunch of different guys for 1 year and that's what I want, then if that works for you, then do that. You know what I mean? I don't feel like that's necessarily wrong. However, I was for a while doing that, but that was not what I really wanted. That's kind of the problem, right? And so that's what creates the anxiety, frustration, sadness, depression. And so the real question was, what do you want? And then to sit with that for a while. And when I realized, you know what? I don't want to, and I'm just speaking for my own self, okay? This is something that I came to the realization. I was like in my mid-30s. I said, I don't want to keep dating like that. I am really looking. I would love to have a life partner, whether I'm married or not, but I would love to have somebody with me to grow with me. And even then, you never know if you're going to work out or not, or it works out until it don't. But I knew that I wanted a companion. I knew that I wanted someone to grow with me. And I don't say just grow old. I say like learn things in life, explore together, you know, have like that kind of deeper connection. When I knew that, then now I was in alignment with that. And then the next step was be very honest with when you're going out with yourself and with them and let them know that's what you want. And it doesn't mean it's going to be the first guy that comes, even if he wants, obviously not. You have to see. So I don't know how that translates to each and every person, but for me, I said, I want to be friends with whoever it is that I really like. I want to be friends with him first. Mm-hmm. And that means just like going out and having fun. And that's basically what, or that meant like, okay, I went out with this guy 3-4 times and then, that's not really it. Then I'm going to maybe not even see anybody for the next 8 months or whatever and have a lot of alone time. And that's totally fine. Learn to love yourself. Take yourself out on dates. How about that?
That's awesome. And I think so much of finding a person that you really want to be with in life has to do with first really loving yourself and really wanting to be with yourself. So that concept of taking yourself out on a date or just having a great time with yourself. Someone the other day told me when they wake up in the morning, they play the song Jump by the Pointer Sisters and it like sort of changes their energy for the day. And yeah. I thought that was really fun. What gives you energy? What fuels your own inner spirit and love? I'm so glad that you found that and that you're teaching that in your studio. And is your studio, your overall, let's say, business or mission in life is around what you call the Shanti Peace Project?
Yeah. So my studio, I started it when I moved back to New Orleans. I came from a background of like working for YogaWorks. I did not just teach for YogaWorks. I also helped with the management team. So we were open 7 days a week. We had vinyasa flow yoga classes all day long. And then somehow along the way, I really sort of, something shifted in me. Well, a lot of people were coming to my class and saying, or like my privates and say, what are you doing? Because like something is like, it's just, there's a different feel that like energetically something shifting when I come to your class. Like, are you doing like some magic? Or, you know, like besides the posture. And what happens, I started playing with some frequency vibrations, meaning, and this is going to sound very esoteric, but I do have now this whole, I'm an energy healer now too, which has been a huge thing. When I'm telling you this, because after 4 years, really the past maybe like year, I've switched my studio from a vinyasa flow studio to a yoga studio in a healing center. And so this is where this comes in. And I started learning about symbols, which is what Reiki uses a lot. And so that led me to start researching energy healing. And for a while, I wasn't even like letting people know because I was just playing with the field of energy. And that's what I mean. This sounds very esoteric, but I was, and I was getting a lot of feedback. And then eventually I was like, you know what? I'm just going to come out of the closet per se, you know?
Yeah.
And be like, okay, guys, this is what I'm doing.
Well, it sounds like you've always had this sort of intuitive sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a matter of learning how to handle all these things as you're growing through life and how to access them. But the past like year, for really 2 years, I knew that I needed, because imagine this, vinyasa flow 7 days a week, all day long.
Physically, I mean, it's a lot too.
I had teachers as well, myself and other teachers, but I'm managing all these teachers. And anybody who has a yoga studio knows, like, if teachers call you at the last minute, they're like, I'm sick, I can't teach, then you have to teach all these extra classes. And it became a lot for me. So I came to a point that things started shifting and I was like, I can't physically, I don't want that kind of responsibility anymore. That's too much. And I have to honor where I am now. And I wanted to explore this whole side of being a Reiki energy healer. But for a year, I didn't really did the shift because I think I was a little scared. It was one of those inspired actions. Oh, I want to do this. And it's a plunge and it's a shift, but I'm going to have a huge cut on my finances and it's going to be very challenging for a while. And it was, and I was like, oh my God, am I doing the right thing?
I want to hear a little bit about your podcast, Life on Earth, and your tagline is celebrating one earthling at a time, which is so sweet. I love that.
Thank you.
What's your mission for the podcast and what are some of the interviews that have had the biggest impact on you personally?
You know what you just said, like the line that you just said,
yeah, celebrating one earthling at a time.
Yeah, so with all that I've told, doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Because it's like my background, you know, that I have seen so much from so many different countries and so many different backgrounds that I really wanted a place that my idea was, wow, what if I get some of these people that I love, even like some of my personal friends, you know, that have come from completely different backgrounds and they have such beautiful stories.
Yes.
And we just celebrate them, you know, we just celebrate like everyone and people like yourself. I had the pleasure to interview you too. And I can't wait for this episode. And you have such a beautiful story and I love what you're doing. I love Meditation Studio. I love Untangle. I mean, it's such an honor to be able to share that.
I love that you say that. Thank you so much. I really am so happy that this idea of celebrating people's stories with different backgrounds. Like when I was listening to your podcast, the themes went from someone was talking about energy healing and someone's talking about food as medicine, and someone else is talking about like the impact that violence has on our lives. And those are very different topics, but they all suggest that we have, you know, different opinions on topics that are really important to us. Right now, what's your personal meditation practice? I'm curious about that. And I also want to know, like, what do you say to yourself when you wake up every morning? Like, tell me about both of those things. And I know we have to close soon.
Meditation changes. It varies. There are some days that I perhaps don't meditate because if I'm get caught up with life like everyone. So I wish I meditated like every single day, but sometimes I don't. You know, This morning I actually asked Alexa to do I went to meditation studio and I did one of yours this morning.
Oh, cool.
And it was really awesome. Yesterday I did another one of yours. It was happiness. I think it was Ashley Turner.
Oh, you're the best.
I usually do 20 minutes and I try to have my meditation session like before 12. That's kind of my goal every day. I like to do it in the first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
It varies. You know, sometimes we'll do guided at the studio. Sometimes we'll do silence, just complete silence and breathing for 20 minutes. But I do love meditation. I do feel like it's a huge difference when I'm not meditating in my life versus when I am.
I agree. I feel the same. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? And I'll certainly tell people about how to reach you.
I just think that it's important. I look at sometimes of my days and what carries me and gives me energy, like you were saying. For me, it's like it's really important that we take time for ourselves, spend time in nature, or just go and sit outside for even if it's 10 minutes. Put your feet on the earth. Practice some earthing, some grounding. Nature is one of the biggest healers we have, so don't ever forget that if anyone's feeling anxious or stressed. And definitely take the time to pause, to heal, to see what, to ask yourself the questions like, what is it that you want out of your life? And know that it can always be changing. Impermanence is the only thing we have, but it's really good to have awareness and to access that. And I feel that's the beauty of, like, don't ever think that doing a meditation practice or a yoga practice, it's selfish, because it's the opposite. It's selfless. If you take care of yourself, then you can take care of others. When you do something like that for yourself, it's like a ripple effect. You're going to affect everyone around. So you're really doing it for others. And that's a beautiful thing.
And that ties so well into your becoming in alignment with what you really want in life and knowing that you want to keep growing and growing. And I think you have done that. You are such a beautiful example of someone who continues to grow in your life.
Every day I do have to check in with myself when I do bad things and good things and just reevaluate. And I'm a human being. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. But if you don't mind, I'm going to add one last thing because I wanted everyone to know. I'm having this amazing retreat, which took me a while to put together because last year I skipped it because I really wanted to see something that was in alignment with where I am now. And it's called Golden Sunrise. And that's May 24th to 27th in Oregon. And we will explore practices such as vinyasa flow with energetic integration, with also sun gazing meditations and a lot of meditation, tea ceremony, yoga nidra. Mm-hmm. The place has horses and stables and a state-of-the-art spa, and it's just gorgeous. Thank you so much for having me. I love connecting with your audience as well. So thank you. Thank you it's an honor to be on your show.
Thanks so much to Natalie for being our guest today. You can check out her work at nataliequa.com. If you have feedback or suggestions for guests, email me at patricia@meditationstudioapp.com. And don't forget to download Meditation Studio in the App Store. We'll see you next time.